Welcome to episode one of the BCF.org Tech Talk podcast. I'm Brian Fisher. This episode covers the introduction to electric actuators and the electric actuator versus pneumatic cylinder decision. This podcast series focuses on the various subjects and topics to help you choose the right industrial automation solution for your application. Each episode is approximately 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can listen while commuting. It's targeted to engineers and project managers. For some of you, this will be review, and for others, it will be new. Let's start with electric actuators. Electric actuators provide precise control and positioning, help adapt machine to flexible processes, and have low operating cost. You typically think of a motor, drive, and an actuator, either screw or belt-driven. However, they can also be electromechanic, direct drives in tubular form. In this case, the linear motion is produced purely electrically and wear-free, without any intermediate coupling of mechanical gearboxes, spindles, or belts. The linear motor consists of just two parts, the slider and the stator. The slider is made of neodymium magnets that are mounted in a high-precision stainless steel tube. The stator contains the motor windings, bearings for the slider, position capture sensors, and a microprocessor circuit for monitoring the motor. These devices are very fast and accurate. Linear motor actuators can be positioned as required throughout the entire range of stroke. In addition, positioning, speed, and acceleration can be controlled precisely. The travel and motion profiles can be saved and executed upon command, and they take advantage of Industry 4.0. Speeds of up to 7.3 meters per second and accelerations of over 780 meters second square allowed for very short positioning times and high cycle rates. Repeatability, flexibility, and reduced maintenance significantly reduces the cost of ownership. They do have an initial higher product cost and require electric power at the machine. Compared with pneumatics, component costs of electric actuators are high, but the operating costs are low. High component costs often deter the use of electric actuators because savings in operating costs compared to pneumatics are often not adequately considered or outright ignored. Now, let's look at pneumatic cylinders. With pneumatic cylinders, component costs are low. Maintenance and operating costs can be high. Maintenance and operating costs include replacement cylinder costs, compressed air installation, maintenance, and electricity for the compressor. According to the Department of Energy, 24% of the annual cost of compressed air is due to maintenance, equipment, and installation, while 76% is due directly to the cost of electricity for the compressor. Operating costs per pneumatic device in the facility can be eye-opening, especially if cost calculations have not been done in a while. Pneumatic actuators provide high force and speed at a low initial unit cost, which is an advantage. However, maintenance and operating costs can be high, especially if a serious effort has not been made to quantify and minimize those costs. A significant annual cost is clean compressed air, not shop air. Pneumatic cylinders have a low initial product cost but higher cost of ownership versus electric actuators, especially when power, maintenance, and air leaks are considered. Decisions. When do you choose one technology over the other? Electric linear drives are replacing conventional pneumatic cylinders in more and more applications. The reasons include poor efficiency, high costs for commissioning, reconfiguration, service, maintenance, and the limited control capabilities of pneumatic systems. A recent total cost comparison demonstrates that electric linear drives at current prices for components and electricity pay for themselves within a year or less time for even simple end-to-end movements. Pneumatic drives are characterized by lower acquisition costs, robustness against external influences like temperature variations, dust, and high resistance to overload. They are also simple to operate and do not require holding current when installed in a vertical orientation. Compressed air is also used for cleaning tasks in many shop floor and industrial environments. Compressor systems need to be provided in any case, so it's no wonder that pneumatics is used in a wide range of applications and can be found in many factories. But the air must be good, clean air to remove moisture and particles, not shop air. There is also the issue of ongoing maintenance and potential air leaks. Compressed air is an expensive energy source because compressors only convert a small portion of the input energy into useful power. The great majority is dissipated as heat loss. Pneumatics can provide very high closing forces but can be limited in versatility over a wide range of product types on a machine. This means tooling changeovers, which can be expensive. Direct drive linear actuators are very versatile in applications like this. They are routinely used where one actuator can be sized for multiple product configurations and simple program changes are made based on the application parameters. This eliminates costly tooling changeovers and setup time. Air compressors are limited by a duty cycle to prevent failures, so large air demands must be controlled with accumulators and other hardware, and this is expensive. This means the compressed air output has a limitation for speed and efficiency, especially when there's a high demand. Direct drive electric actuators have no such limitations for efficiency and can be run continuously when properly sized for thermal capacity. The performance of a pneumatic cylinder varies over time as the seals wear. As a result, many adjustments of the pneumatic system may be required to get repeatable or accurate performance over the life of the device. Any change in performance of a pneumatic cylinder can directly relate to the quality and yield of the product being produced in the manufacturing process. Whereas, the performance, including accuracy and repeatability, of tubular electric actuators does not degrade over time, producing a constant product yield and significantly reducing the need for ongoing maintenance. Regarding product cost and cost of ownership, not considering the total cost of ownership results in short-term product savings, but it comes with increased utility cost, increased maintenance cost, and increased product yield issues over time. Quite often, these costs are hidden and are not broken out or even considered. Considering the total cost of ownership early in the process is all about considering the entire service life of a technology choice, not just the initial purchase cost. When the total cost of ownership is considered and calculated, the analysis will show that in most cases, choosing electric actuators instead of pneumatic cylinders will almost always provide a lower total cost of ownership. Thinking about this topic further, I wanted to get a little more insight about electric actuators versus pneumatic cylinders. So I reached out to Paul Ripotella of Hamilton Automation from the Chicagoland area for his input. Paul, welcome to the BCF.org Tech Talk podcast on the introduction to electric actuators and pneumatic cylinders.
Thanks, Brian.
Paul, would you please give us a little background on your experience in the industrial automation industry?
Sure. For about the last 10 years, I've been working with a company called Hamilton Automation, and we're a technical outside sales rep firm. We cover several automation and motion control component manufacturers in the industry.
You're based out of the Chicago area, right?
Right. My business partners and I basically cover the Midwest, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, and Nebraska. So pretty good area.
Oh, yeah, that's a big area. Well, how do people make a decision to either go with an electric actuator or a pneumatic cylinder?
So in my experience, I've seen that when people are thinking low cost, simple motion, slower motion, air cylinders have been the choice. And really, if you think about over the however many years people have been building machinery, air cylinders have been the choice because they were at one time the only choice. But nowadays, you're getting into electric actuators where people want higher speeds, more control, higher production output, then it's time to look at electric actuators over pneumatic cylinders.
Expanding on that, could you kind of go over the advantages and disadvantages of each technology?
Sure. I tend to think air cylinder, you think lower cost, simple motion. It's going to be two positions, unless you gang a number of air cylinders together and you can get multiple positions, but that's usually difficult. If you're just thinking simple, slower production rates, air cylinders make a lot of sense. People tend to look to, say, higher speed electric actuators because they want multiple positions. They want to control their force. They want to maybe push to a force and recognize how far they've traveled. So when you want more control, more sophistication, that's when you would go to an electric actuator over an air cylinder.
Well, you touched on cost. Typically, electric actuators have a higher upfront cost over a pneumatic cylinder. approximately how long does it take to recover that higher upfront cost or for an ROI for the cost of ownership?
So in some of the products that we sell, you can deal with higher production rates. And in some cases, if you're at 30 cycles or more per minute, you can have an energy savings that could get you to be less than a one-year payback. And also longer strokes tend to be a faster payback because there's a lot of air used to make a longer stroke linear motion. And then again, you can still have a one-year or less payback.
Well, Paul, thanks a lot. And thanks for joining us today for the introduction of electric actuators and pneumatic cylinders.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. My thanks to Linmont for sponsoring this episode. Linmont, the linear motor technology leader. Visit Linmont at linmont-usa.com. That's linmot-usa.com. This podcast is on several directories. In search, type BCF, O-R-G, T-E-C-H. Be sure to leave a space between BCF, O-R-G, and T-E-C-H. Click on subscribe or follow to automatically be notified of future episodes. And feel free to share this podcast with people who you think may benefit. A strong rating of these podcasts would be appreciated. If you would like to reach out to me with any questions, ideas, or potentially be a guest, like Paul, please go to bcforg.com. There's a red Contact Us button in the middle of the homepage. A LinkedIn symbol's on the upper right. Click on that if you'd like to see my profile. These podcasts will be released on a monthly basis. From BCF ORG Corp., I'm Brian Fisher, wishing you the best. Thanks.